Hey, Brendan.
Hey, Alan.
All right, we're back here for a Not a Thing podcast. Hooray!
Special late edition.
Yeah. Right, it's special. We're calling it special, so makes people feel better that it's late.
Don't worry, everybody, your medicine has arrived.
Yes. Or maybe it's not late. Maybe people listen to our show like on Mondays. Or on Sundays, and so this is timely. It's just in
Well,
time.
pot yeah, it's true. Podcasts are timeless.
Podcasts are forever. You remember that, ladies
least
out
till your
there.
server crashes.
Yeah. Oh, one day it'll be okay. Anyway. We were laid up a little bit this week, only because we're kind of dodging kind of sickness and coughing and sneezing, and I don't know, tis the season, I guess. So,
I mean, I'm not sure how the internet works exactly, but I didn't want to get you sick
it's
across the fiber line.
right. Well, those, the I believe you can get viruses through computers. I've heard of something like that, right?
Well, mine's up to date, my virus scan, so.
Yeah. I run a Mac, so I don't have any antivirus stuff because I'm on a Mac. I'm probably
If I was
living in a delusion about like my viruses, but that's okay.
A good enough programmer, I would only program viruses for Macs.
Right? It's just like it's the next target market, in my opinion. Actually, it's probably like a little late. The next target market is probably iPads.
Right.
Yeah. So get on it, virus
iOS
writers.
only viruses.
Let's not make that a thing. Let's maybe
No.
not.
For sale in the Android marketplace, viruses for OS 6.1.
Oh yeah. So what happened this week? What all's been going on other than everyone getting sick? I heard there was some kind of like football game or something.
There was a game.
Yeah.
It was pretty super.
Yeah.
Maybe not the ending, but.
No, maybe not so much. That's all right. You can read about that on other media sources.
Yeah.
We went to Sketchfest this past week, a few events, but most notably, I think the Nerdist podcast live.
Yes, back to the source.
Yes. So, wanting to give a quick yay yay to the Nerdist folks for as much as they listen to our show. We sure listen to you guys. I think it's fair to say they were the kind of the spiritual predecessor of the Not a Thing podcast.
It's the Holy Trinity of the Not a Thing podcast with Myra Bowie, Vajona, and Big C.
Yes, on the shoulders of giants and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was great to see them in a I think a much better space than last year. Last year they were at the Regency Ballroom, which is huge, just a huge, huge, huge space.
Although we
And
were very close.
that's true. We were in the first row in at that recording of it. I almost said taping. I have to remember that no one records on tape anymore, right? I think
No,
so. No.
only hipsters,
Yeah.
which we are not.
No, not at all. No, we're recording with Audacity, a fine open source audio recording and cleanup software. It's
Audacity and blue microphones.
yes. Blue microphones are great. We would love for them to sponsor us, actually.
Yeah. Come on, guys.
And if anybody wants to sponsor us, pipe up. We're all over it. We're down with that.
Yeah, it's not like you need to pledge a lot of money to sponsor something.
Yeah, and in fact, our needs are very light. I think our
Dinner.
production values are good. as they are right now, but, you know, wouldn't hurt a little bit of a bump. You know, I wouldn't mind maybe a nicer set of headphones, something. Dre or Ludacris, you know, you can throw down your Beats.
Get some Ludas.
Yeah, the Soul headphones, pretty sweet.
You should start recording in your voiceover box.
That box, oh god, maybe I should put some pictures up online of that. Yeah. It is pretty cool. It makes it sound like I'm in a box recording everything. Anyway, it's an old voiceover trick. You make a soundproof thing that you kind of stick your face in to do the recording if you can't buy or rent or otherwise use a genuine recording booth. It works reasonably well at kind of cutting out echoes and stuff like that. Not that we have to worry about that. Not at all.
No.
No. Most people, I think, listen to our podcast kind of while doing something else. So the audio quality, you know, they don't want to hear every, you know, breath and heartbeat and all that kind of stuff. Plus, I think it gives a little character when you hear, like, my cats throw up in the background.
No one's heard that yet. That's still unreleased.
Right. That's true. We might have to do, like, the blooper reel, you know, when we get to a year or something. We'll see how it goes.
We're like, halfway there.
Yeah, we are.
Close to it.
Yay us. Yay all of you listening to Not a Thing podcast on the ground floor for this, rocket ship takes off, if I can mix those metaphors.
You can. On this podcast, mixing metaphors is a thing.
Excellent. All right. What other stuff did we do this week? Oh, so I had some car trouble last week. I think I mentioned it, that I had a little trouble with my car, and I brought it to the dealership, and they're working on it. They're gonna, you know, they're gonna get it back to me. Yeah, but this time they fixed it, which was great. You know, it only took them 4 days, which is wonderful. I was able to get my car back. I've been driving it for a little while now. But in the meantime, what was really nice of them, because it was the third time through essentially that I brought it in for the same problem, the dealership gave me essentially my choice of loaner car from their fleet. And they were kind of running through this mid-size sedan, this kind of larger SUV, and they're like, or an Audi TT convertible. I'm like, okay, let's stop right there. And so I drove that for, you know, a weekend and a couple days. And I have to say, it's not the same as my car. It's a very different kind of animal. And I really liked it. I mean, I don't want that instead of my car, but I think everyone, I think this should be a thing that you at least have free run of a convertible for at least 48 hours. And ideally, you know, with a road trip of, say, 60 to 100 miles when it's sunny. It's totally worth it.
Does that include the children starving in Africa so they can drive 60 miles to go get some food in their convertible?
Well, so the TT doesn't have a back seat like a lot of sports cars do. They don't have that kind of vestigial half space of a seat. So really, you can't put, you know, starving children in your car. You're just going to have to, you know.
Well, that's what the trunk is for, right? There is a trunk.
Well, so some convertibles are hardtop convertibles, and they lose a lot of trunk space when those mechanics kick in. So,
well, they're skinny, so that makes it easy, yeah, right?
Okay, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Plus, when you're in the trunk, you're safe from lions. Other beasties.
That's probably true. Well, okay, all right. If you're in an urban setting, maybe use your convertible to get away for a little while. If you're in a rural setting, generally, it may not be that exciting for you. But definitely rent a convertible or borrow one, or maybe not steal one.
Oh, I mean, not steal one.
maybe not steal one.
Well, if you do steal it, return it.
Yes. Yes.
And if movies have taught us anything, you just need to drive it in reverse to put the mileage back.
I believe that is the proper action, right?
The Bueller maneuver?
Yes. But only after you've driven it over a hill or two while the Star Wars theme is playing.
Yeah, if you're going to drive a convertible, you got to drive it right.
Right, right. There's just something really nice about that. And the thing that that kicked in for me was that in a robot-driven car or a computer-driven car, you would never feel like it does when you're driving the car yourself with the top down. Because if the top is down and the car is driving itself, it's a different feeling. You're truly just a dog sticking your head out the window. It's not it's not the same. As much fun as dogs look like they're having, there's something just nice about, you know, you feel like you're piloting like a plane.
Well, that is exactly why in my proposal for the self-driven cars is that it's only within a certain distance of major cities. When you're on the freeways, you have control of the car.
This 100% should be a thing. I will write my congressman.
Yes, do that.
Do the We the People petition. Stand outside of Google and wave signs. Whatever I need to do. Because I do like driving. I mean, that's the thing I took away from being in the convertible. Was just that driving the convertible really made me appreciate just driving in general. So totally worth
doing. Driving on the open road is fun. Yeah. Driving in cities sucks.
It's true. It's true. Although driving with the top down in cities made it a lot easier to park. Much easier, because you can just turn all the way around and there's the end of that car, not a problem. Although in San Francisco, when the fog comes in, you want that top up pretty much immediately. Anyway, it's been kind of an interesting week technologically. There was news about Amoeba Records. They're digitizing physical media, and not just kind of any physical media, but kind of specifically really hard to find, yeah, vinyl, and maybe other things, but yeah, like records that are out of print and just will never be seen again, kind of thing. And they're kind of using it sounds like they're doing the iTunes model, where they are selling individual songs, but it sounds like they're trying to sell them as whole albums, which I think, you know, is closer to what, you know, the intention of that vinyl was. But the really interesting thing about it is that they are trying to track down the copyright holders of all of the music. But when they can't, they're just going ahead and selling the or putting the recordings up for sale, and then holding money for the artist in escrow. So if the artist or whoever the copyright claim comes down to, it's like, oh yeah, yeah, here's your money, no big deal, don't sue us. Which
good luck with that.
Yeah, I think they'll probably get sued at least once in this process, but I think it's a good idea if it will never be, you know, repressed or, you know, not repressed, but that's the wrong word there. I'm sure
No, it's the right word. It's just the emphasis on it needs to be a little more.
Yeah, so it'll never be repressed again, right?
Yeah, I guess that would be.
Or otherwise re-released as in any other format. I mean, I know there are recordings of stuff that, you know, are just impossible to find and stuff like that. But what's, I think what's interesting is this opens up kind of a can of worms about like what you can and can't like sell again, essentially, because you're, the way that this works is it's almost like, or at least in my view, it's kind of like how they're selling used CDs, right? So if a CD is used, the artist doesn't get any of that money. And this is kind of like that in that the music was sold once at some point, someone purchased it, and now it has come into Amoeba's hands and they're selling it again. The difference is that Amoeba in theory is trying to, you know, keep that money for the people involved, but I have a feeling that's just a hornet's nest of copyright holders and who really owns it and stuff like that, because all of this is the hard to find music, and so that means that it's generally very old, and so the copyright stuff's going to be super sketchy, and all it takes is one person, or rather two people, to both claim, you know, on the same thing, and then Amoeba's now in the middle of that fight. But I think it's a good idea. I think their heart's in the right place. Or rather, they're going to make some money off it. Hopefully enough to cover whatever their legal fees will be once everything comes down. But I think it just goes to towards the what we've talked about kind of in the past, in that, you know, the copyright laws and the way artists are compensated for stuff really has to get reworked. And this will probably, you know, open up that fight a little bit, hopefully for the good. You know, copyright, yeah, and
good first step.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, creators of content, you know, in whatever form, it really has to get just kind of realigned with how it works, you know, in the digital world. And that reminds me, we didn't bring this up kind of earlier, but did you see the thing about the patent troll and podcasting?
Mm-hmm.
So that absolutely should not be a thing. So I'll be sure to link that. But the short form is that some
douchebag,
yeah, essentially, is being a patent troll. And for those that don't know what patent trolling is, it's you essentially go to patent holders, inventors of stuff, and when you apply for a U.S. patent, you essentially have the right to sell it. And so what some people do is they go out and they buy those rights from inventors. And it's not so they can sell it so much. It's as so they can sue other people into submission for doing something that sounds similar. And if that sounds really cynical, that's because that's how it is. It's really unfortunate. I mean, especially in the tech industry, the patent portfolios of some of these companies really was used as like competitive ammunition in growing businesses. I mean, it's this really kind of dirty underbelly of how technological advancement kind of works. But in any case, some guy who shall not be named, because I don't remember it and I didn't write it down, and it's not really worth knowing.
And even if I did, I wouldn't want to give him the press.
Right, exactly. He essentially is claiming that certain aspects of podcasting are his. And what he didn't invent them, clearly, because really all podcasting is recording stuff and putting it on the internet. But
which is essentially what his patent is for. It's super vague.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no specifics on, this exact mechanism is what is used to disseminate a podcast.
Right.
It's like, I just came up with the idea and I own it.
Yeah. And so he's sending, you know, cease and desist letters to large audience podcast companies and stuff like that. I mean, ours must have been lost in the mail or something.
right.
Because clearly, you know, our audience, you know, obviously pretty huge.
All our sponsorship deals.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, had a chilling effect on our sponsorship deals. That's exactly what's going on.
That's why.
That's why we don't have any sponsors right now. It's because, yeah, chilling effect. But anyway, it's ridiculous, first of all. I think that whole like set of things, being able to, you know, buy a patent and then sue someone for it, even though you're not using that invention, I think is dirty beyond all means, essentially. So definitely not a thing. But podcasting, still a thing. We like to do it. It's still fun. and then it's that again ties into the whole, like, who has the right to do stuff on the internet is really kind of a wild and woolly kind of thing right now, and it's still being figured out. So my advice to anyone who wants to do anything on the internet is to just do it, and then we'll figure out what's going on kind of afterwards. Especially if you're one who's creating content. Through this podcast, I know it's kind of turned my head around for, you know, what it is to kind of create stuff and put stuff out. And it really is not super difficult. I think, you know, you need a couple people with know-how, and then it just works. I mean, it's more, you need people that are driven to want to create. And I think the bar has been lowered.
Really low.
Have you heard our podcast?
We should start. Not on the air, Alan. We should start our own podcast network. So get people who want to start their own podcast. Show them how to do it. Release it.
Yeah, would not be difficult. If anyone listening to this, you know, is interested in starting a podcast, or, you know, we could work something out. Just let us know. Let the HAL 900 know. We'll put that together for you. What else we got happening in the world this week? Oh. So this might be one of my favorite stories. Is the archaeologists who found a skeleton they were digging up a parking lot in England, and they found the skeleton, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? They sent away to a lab to have it analyzed, and apparently the skeleton is of Richard the Third, which is ridiculous. It's this you know, long lost king, the last king that died in battle, I think was what the
That's what the article said.
Right. It's because every other transition the last British king to have died in battle, because every other succession has been bloodless, supposedly.
Maybe all a bunch of wusses.
Yeah. After that one, it was like, nah, we'll just, you know, poison them slowly over time or something.
Just let their horrible genetic inbreeding kill them off on their own.
Well, that was another piece of it, right? I mean, apparently one of the ways that they were able to tell that it was, oh my God, this might be Richard III, was that I guess Richard III had like this really kind of crazily deformed spine. And in the pictures of the skeletons that they've kind of rearranged, it's like, oh my gosh, that looks really awful. And apparently it wasn't just being buried in a parking lot for, you know, a few hundred years that did that. It was actually a very kind of horrible,
brutal death,
deformed spine. Yeah, that too. Apparently there were, you know, more than a couple blows to the head consistent with, you know, being killed in battle. So, but it's weird because Richard III was one of those, was, I think, maybe my first Shakespearean introduction, like the first like play that I ever watched from Shakespeare. It's normally like Romeo and Juliet or Merchant of Venice or something like that. But for whatever reason, in, I want to say, seventh grade, I went to Shakespeare in Golden Gate Park with my English class at the time. And it was very surreal because I had never experienced, you know, that language and everything else. And so it was very strange to see the play. And the only thing I remember is the last line of the play when he's spoiler alert. See, I got it ahead of time. You see that? That's like the first time, like in the history of the podcast, that I got it ahead of time.
That you're not going to spoil something that is hundreds of years old.
Oh wait, we already talked about that he died. That's what they found his skeleton. Oh man, foiled again. Anyway, he at the end of it, his you know, he's on the battlefield and is stranded by his men and his other soldiers who have all abandoned him because he was such a like jerk, essentially. And his final words are like, a horse, my kingdom for a horse," and then he dies. So that is, I don't think I've ever said.
Now, do you remember that from when you were seven, or have you since heard it again and remember that as your favorite part?
It was actually seventh grade. Did I say seventh grade? Old?
Sorry, you said seventh grade. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Still.
No.
That was a while ago, right?
Right. Oh. That was pretty good.
Shakespeare burn. Boom.
Yes, indeed. So I do remember it from seventh grade, but I remember it more actually from the Richard III movie, and I can't remember. I want to say Ian McKellen was Richard III in that movie.
Hmm.
That was also really good because they kind of updated the Richard III timeline to, instead of being, you know, the, you know, 1500s England or what, I actually don't know the time frame for
old England,
right? Very old England, to kind of World War II England, which was a really interesting kind of play on how that worked. But
they did something like that with I think it was Hamlet with Patrick Stewart.
Oh yeah, and
David Tennant.
Yes, that was
pretty good.
That was really good. I saw that one on PBS. Should be a thing, by the way. PBS should be a thing.
You're pro Big Bird.
I am very pro Big Bird.
Actually, I think I'm more pro Sherlock. But
okay, fair enough. That's cool.
They should get Benedict Cumberbatch to play Big Bird.
Well, you know, he's kind of tall.
He's in everything now. Yeah. He's the voice of Smaug.
Yeah. And he's whatever the bad guy is in Star Trek.
Whoever that bad guy is.
Yeah. I saw another or a couple more stills of that. I have not seen the new trailer for it yet.
You didn't see the one during the Super Bowl?
I think I had stepped away when that one came up. I don't know.
That was good.
Yeah, I saw the Iron Man one from the Super Bowl. That was good. And
did you see the one that was released after the Super Bowl?
Oh yeah, the extended look. Well done.
That was very, very well done.
Well done. Definitely worth looking up. I'll link it in
the comments. Yeah, we should link that.
The extended look at the Iron Man trailer. I'll just leave it there. But what other Super Bowl commercials were kind of good for you? I remember really liking the the nonsensical Axe body spray one. The guy swims out to like fight off the shark that's gonna eat the woman who's like on a surfboard. He brings her in and like, you know, carries her onto shore, and then they're like just about to kiss, and then the voiceover kicks on as she turns away from him, and it says, "Nothing beats an astronaut." And then it's just this guy taking off his helmet and it says Axe body spray, and that's the whole ad. And it's just very, Very strange. I just like the
idea. Was that later in the game?
It was. It was kind of, it may have been during the power outage portion of the
story. That may have also been when the itis kicked in and I was dozing off.
Right. Yeah. The Taco Bell ad was killer. Just so, so good. The people in the seniors home.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was good. What else?
I like the Oreo, the cream versus cookie, where the people are in their library.
Oh, and everyone's whispering.
Yeah.
That was great, for sure.
Or did you see the one with The Rock for milk? The new Got Milk ad with The Rock in it.
I think I was preparing food when that came on, but I remember kind of looking back at it. I didn't record the game at all, so I didn't spin anything back. But no, I didn't. I don't remember that one. You don't have to reenact it. It's okay.
I'm not going to. That is not what this podcast has devolved into.
One of my friends from college tweeted, "I hope you liked my Calvin Klein ad." That was a nice touch. Yeah, that was kind of a strange ad to watch in a mixed crowd. actually, the... Well, I won't even... Yeah, we're not even going to go there. GoDaddy should not be a thing.
No.
Anyway.
That's why our domain is not registered with them.
No. No, clearly not. Thanks, hover.com.
Yeah.
I think the quietest... The room got was during the Dodge ad for Farmers.
No,
it was so weird. Just like everyone stopped talking during that ad, and we're just like watching this ad, which I thought was interesting until I saw the first logo, and then it was immediate. Oh no, this is a Dodge ad, and it's like,
well, it's like the did you see the Jeep ad?
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, this is for the armed forces. Oh, right. Okay. And then as soon as you see it, you're like, oh, come on.
Right.
Oprah, why?
Yeah. Look under your chairs. It's a Jeep ad. We probably shouldn't speak too ill of the Oprah media conglomerate, actually.
Look under your chairs. It's Endless War. Brought to you by Jeep.
Wow.
Too soon?
Man. Yeah. I thought the Super Bowl ads were good this year. There were some kind of just, they paid however many million for that kind of ads. Mm-hmm. But I did find out, because a friend of mine, he know someone who works at Best Buy, and they quote unquote borrowed a 3D TV for purposes of watching the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they broadcast the entire game and most of the ads in 3D. And I didn't know that was happening at all, first of all, but
I know they still made 3D TVs.
Yeah. I mean, I think we called that this year as not a thing.
Yeah. So
I thought that was interesting.
Don't they listen to our podcast?
Apparently, you know, it's, maybe the ad space was all bought ahead of our podcast, and it's like, you know, what are you going to do, right?
Well, actually, I did see something recently that was not in 3D that I had seen previously in 3D.
Oh?
Yes, I went back and finally lived up to my word and saw The Hobbit again.
Oh, okay.
In 2D, in regular frame rate. I liked it a lot more.
Huh.
Yeah. It still has some weak points in the movie, but I was not... It was a much more immersive experience. Like, it was more believable to me.
That's really interesting. So, I think we've talked about this at least twice now. But yeah, I mean, I think for us especially, having grown up with TVs the way TVs are and movies the way movies are, I think that kind of separating line is still bold enough that I don't want to cross it. So, yeah, I think that'll, you know, that confirms, you know, really well what, you know, we've been saying. So I probably will just watch, the second and third pieces of that. That's a lot of movie, in 2D.
Should be the better ones though.
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully.
That's true. More stuff will happen. less fan service for the Lord of the Rings people. Although, you know, there's obviously some. It's not as may not be as prevalent. Still, cool stuff. Lots of fighting. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I remember, I think earlier in the week, you were telling me of some games that you had gotten or bought through like this crazy sale on Steam. Have you cut into those at all?
I've only played one. It was like 20 game or 19 games for $20. It was, I've been playing Company of Heroes.
Oh, okay.
Which is like the third person real time strategy World War II game.
Yeah. that Steam Box really needs to come out. So I know we talked about the Steam Box a little bit when CES was going, but the thing that I read said that whatever was shown by, I think the company was like X, it was some awful name. It was like XI3 or X3I, some company name that should not be a thing because it's completely unmemorable. But the thing that they were showing was a prototype of like a box that, or computer you could buy that, you know, would be okay to plug into a TV, but it was not the Steam Box that's being developed by Valve. So that was kind of a bummer because they're still, it's still like coming. Like they've said that they're working on it, but there have been no prototypes that have been released to the wild or anything like that. But I totally want one.
Well, there's more big news from Valve this week. Was J.J. Abrams?
Oh my God!
Stepping into yet another arena.
Yeah. So I don't know if you heard.
Signing a deal with them for movies and games.
Star Trek, Star Wars,
and now possibly Half-Life or Portal.
Oh, this is beautiful. That's good stuff.
It's nice to see someone whose work I enjoy actually get more work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not always the case. It's like, why does Michael Bay keep getting to make movies?
Oh, exploding movies.
And on that note, I think we should end the podcast before Michael Bay has me hunted down and
exploded.
CGI'd to death.
Well, we'll be back, at our hopefully regularly appointed
regular time.
You know, if I can get enough fluids to not get my wife's cold, and if you can not reinfect or whatever.
Must maintain your purity of essence, Alan.
Excellent. Good stuff, Brennan. I will talk to you very shortly, probably in the next few days, and then we'll put that podcast up.
Yep.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Bye, everybody.